One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, and welcome to the second spook part. No, I'm not going to do that. That was bad.
The spooky shot?
The spook. Hello, and welcome to the spooky shot podcast.
I think you should do that voice.
Ooh, that's a spooky shot right there.
All right, should we start
over? I'm spooky George Dunn.
Should we start over?
No.
I feel like you should totally get into it with that voice.
That's
after that spooky
doing.
Music.
I was.
But yeah, but in the like right after
where
you started, you said, I can't do that.
A weird racial slur.
This is we didn't even do like Black History Month at all for February, and we're doing Halloween.
Oh, damn.
This is the most racist podcast.
Guess which holiday I like more, Devin? Martin Luther King Day or Halloween?
Why don't they combine the two?
We should give, we should give Martin Luther King a second shot, but it's very inappropriate.
No. One did the trick.
Maybe we should restart this intro.
One did the trick. It's all right.
Oh, I don't like
actually.
Oh,
wait, I don't
actually
know.
This is your spookiest situation. You are the white male at the table.
That's true.
It's a very scary time for white males in this country.
I'm so scared.
Everybody hates you and wants to replace you.
Not.
What do you have to say for
it's
yourself?
It's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
You will not replace me. You will not replace me.
That was me that just said that.
Whoa, that's spooky. That's why you're scaring me. Ooh.
Actually, we came here to give you a second shot to atone for all your microaggressions from the last year.
I'm Irish. I got a lot of them.
And that goes on the list.
Is there a thing as macroaggressions, or is it just micro and regular?
Well, I think a macroaggressions don't need to be labeled, because like they're pretty obvious.
Okay. It's like an over...
I said, here is exactly why I don't like you and why I don't think you should be... Like,
but isn't that just a regular
Charlottesville
aggression?
Charlottesville was a macroaggression, I would say.
I thought they were very peaceful.
There are good people on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are some really good people on that side of that guy who drove a car into a crowd and killed a woman.
This month is already so scary just from this conversation. I'm terrified thinking about it all.
I think we need some paper towels thrown into a crowd. I think that's what we really need.
That would
really
help
our country.
It would help. Mm-hmm. Help me clean up the piss in my pants.
So spooky.
I'm just peeing my pants out of terror.
Well, welcome to the Second Shot Podcast. We're not doing a new intro.
Spooky George Dunn.
Spooky George Dunn. And who are you, Mr. Scary Black Man?
Well, I'm Scary Devin Newsom. I'm black.
Oh, no. In my house?
Well, I just saw this microphone and I had to come walk up and interrupt everyone. That's why everyone hates us, right?
That's the
stereotype.
Usually stereotype.
It's because we just walk on stage.
Are you about to freestyle?
No. I will not flow. Right now or any moment.
Are you from Progressive?
What?
Are you from Progressive?
No, fuck. Fuck that commercial. I don't know. Flow. I just don't like flow.
No one does.
What it comes down. I would never be. When people were flow. Were you ever flow for Halloween?
The Progressive Girl?
Or
Mandy
George.
Lee.
Yeah.
Our guest on the
podcast. I don't
want to
offend anyone in the room that may have been Flo for Halloween. Dan.
Yeah, Danny
George's
was definitely.
Brother over in the room.
Yeah,
he might have been Flo
was
for Halloween.
Steven Universe podcast.
They were both so adorable.
It's like, hey, what would Flo look like if she had a beard? And we're in Mumford & Sons.
I just didn't like when people were Flo for Halloween. I saw enough of it on TV. And
yeah, it was like a lot of free advertising.
It's a very Pinterest costume.
Like, I feel like there's at least better commercials out there that you could make your costume off of. Like,
why not try and go as the gecko?
The gecko, you could be...
You don't want to go in green face? You want to go in green face out in public? In 2017? I know it's Trump's America. You want to be emboldened like that?
My best friend was Kermit, okay? Like, I get a pass.
It's true. You do have some great friends, so... Maybe get right up on that mic.
Pepe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Somebody should be Pepe.
Oh, yes. The leader of the free will, the free speech movement. The free will movement.
Like, you could be the Jack Lynx beef jerky Sasquatch.
That's just Sasquatch at that point.
But you would carry around a bag of Jack Lynx beef jerky. So then you have a costume, and like then you also have snacks throughout the night.
I feel like if you're going to dress up as Sasquatch, you're probably eating beef jerky anyway. It's just like a snack. So... You know, not to stereotype here, not to stereotype squashers, but...
Just keep bringing it back, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me today. It's a weird day.
I don't know. It's...
Well, you did find out that
we went through a national tragedy. I don't know what else to do anymore.
Well, and they pushed back Fast and the Furious. So.
That's true. I did find that out today. They pushed it back to 2020, which is also a national... That's a national tragedy.
It's probably the worst thing that's happened this week, for sure.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that, and, you know, like, I had to listen to the Traveling Wilburys. Not had to. I don't know. I was trying to make a Tom Petty thing. But
oh, Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to say the two worst are still alive, but that's not true because Bob Dylan's fucking incredible.
Is Tom Petty okay?
No, he's dead now.
He died.
There was a moment where, like, CBS announced that he was dead before he was dead, and then he was just brain dead and on life support, and now he's full dead.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Tom Petty. Literally everybody loves Tom Petty. Literally everybody.
Not everybody.
You don't like Tom Petty?
I don't love Tom Petty.
Okay, I'm not saying second shot Tom Petty, like next week. Can we switch it? Can this be Tom Petty?
This will be Tom Petty month instead of Halloween month.
He's dead now, so that we can be like Tom Petty, Tom Petty's ghost. So it still fits with the theme.
Just we'll do Damn the Torpedoes next week, and then one Traveling Wilburys album.
Drag down to the gates of hell. He wouldn't back down.
He said, God, don't do me like this.
That's so spooky.
Not everybody likes Tom Petty. Not loves. Loves might be a hard word, but like you ask anybody, there's one Tom Petty song they like, no matter what. He crosses all like boundaries. Like he's even like dumb white trash people to super rich people. Like,
I guess I like that.
Running Down a Dream, yeah, because it's fucking great.
That one's a pretty good
riff, dude.
It's a good riff, I will say.
Yeah, man, Tom Petty's the best. Well, he's not anymore, but. Devin, how was your week?
My week was all right. It was very busy. Had a lot. We're setting up projects for our future.
Mm-hmm. To be named at a later date.
Yeah, I don't think we can really talk about that right now. It's not official, but it's almost official.
Are you guys finally getting married?
Yeah. We're getting married, finally.
Yes. We're waiting for the Supreme Court to allow it again.
Yes.
Or whatever, so we don't get fired or whatever the hell's going on now.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how it works, but I think you need a permit of some kind.
Yeah,
a
there's
license
a...
to dispense gay.
You need a permit. It takes way less time than getting a gun.
Yeah.
Actually, it takes way more time. There goes my... Oh, this is going to be a bad day for me. I was trying to make a joke, and I fucked it up right away. I was trying to be real topical.
I don't know. It's hard not to talk. It's like... I feel like it's just ignoring it now. Like, we try to... Like, we're not ignoring it because we all acknowledge it happens, but none of us want to talk about or think about it at all anymore. It's just gone
marriage.
On for so long.
Yeah.
Gay marriage.
No. Gone on for so long in this country.
That's exactly what I was referring to.
No, but that weird... The normalization. Like, where nobody's... We've lost our fight.
Right. And it's what we haven't lost.
It's so easy to feel helpless right now. Like,
You still have to go to work. I think that's the problem. Like, you still have to go up and go to work, and you can't be... Well, South Park kind of nailed it. Like, you can't be on your phone constantly freaking out, but at the same time, you don't want to feel like you're giving in, but what...
That episode was weird. I didn't know what to take away from... Oh, no, not that. The episode after that, the Christopher Columbus one.
I
didn't know what to take... There's, like, a whole thing, like... It's really chastising, like, victim culture, which I get, but after a while, it felt a little like
it's it
kind of gross.
I don't know. It was the people. I don't think it was chastising victim culture. I felt like it was chastising the people who are doing the offending and then claiming to be the victim.
Yeah.
And claiming that their rights are getting taken away. I felt like the Columbus thing, the scene when he was calling this all of people in the city of Columbus and was like, "You're a racist."
I mean, it was really it was
you,
a funny episode.
Racist. Yeah,
but, like when he poops on the statue in New York. He's got right, the eye poop New York.
I felt like maybe they were throwing a shot slightly at like all the people, like the Cleveland Indians people. State of Ohio.
Yeah, there was like a weird like
I was a fan
shut
of this,
up and
this is a tradition and
yeah.
But it was hilarious.
You know who else had traditions that don't get to have them anymore?
Gay people. I don't know why I keep doing that. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna stop talking for the rest of this podcast.
You're done, George.
Yeah, I am.
Get it?
Spooky done.
No, but I mean, you had an original point, and I feel like we did get off topic a little bit about your week and how you feel like we're becoming normalized and
I don't know, like I want to just be normal, like I want to just do a talk about like stupid things on a podcast every mm-hmm. week and not have to
talk about this shit.
Yeah,
feel like we have to. And be like, is everybody okay?
And
yeah.
Like we don't have to talk about it, but at the same point, like it's hard not to. It's like it's a giant fucking elephant in the room. Yeah. Like,
well, like this is our culture now. I kind of feel like, like when we get old, we'll still have like our jokes are sort of are about whatever's going on, like the gay people thing. Like this, I think this is just who we are now. We're gonna be the old people in the rockers.
Well, there's the level
with our cynicism and
right.
Remember that one time?
Yeah, it's like our ironic detachment's like the only thing that gets me through anymore. Like. Yeah. And it sucks because it's like, you know, you don't want to become cynical, but at the same point, like, if you just sit there and just worry and dwell on it at the same time, like, it's not going to help anything.
I just want to vape like, till I get vaporized.
Yeah, dude.
It's my motto.
It's fucking that's smoke beautiful. Weed every day.
Yeah, I'm just got to vape till you
see,
get vaporized.
See, Ludacris started his own Words with Friends game. Or not Words with Friends. What the fuck is it?
Misspelled Word with Friends?
No, it's Slang and Buds or something like that.
Slang with Buds?
What the fuck is the card game? Cards Against Humanity.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Ludacris made his own little
wait, can I download it? Is it on my phone?
No, I think it's a physical app. I have an ad on Facebook. I'll send you the link.
Wait, a physical app?
A physical app? Like, you mean a real live game?
A physical app?
Yeah. This is who we are now!
It's a real physical app. You can touch it with your phone.
Take a picture of it with your phone. It's a real life game with cards.
Yeah, I think that's what it looked like.
It's an application
so
to real life.
It's a card game.
Yeah.
It's an application you're trying to real say. Life. Oh, God. What have we become?
We're forgetting words like they did in the new Mad Max.
No,
we forgot the word for tree. We forgot the word for card game.
I'm just really dumb. What's the difference?
I wish that's all it were.
I'm glad that you didn't deny the fact that I was dumb, though. Thank you. Well, that you haven't actually got a proper introduction yet. That voice you've been hearing
is Devin Nuces.
It's your conscience, and you should all feel really bad.
It's Spooky Mandy Lee, aka the Show Mom. I don't know.
Show Mom.
Mutant Mandy Lee.
Yeah, Mutant Mandy Lee. There we go.
There we go.
I'm not. Everyone's just spooky to me.
Spooky today. George Don, Mutant Mandy Lee, and Scary Devin Nuces.
Mandy Ligosi.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
How was your week, Mandy? Do anything fun, interesting, cool, great?
How much time do we have?
2 minutes.
Oh, okay. It was really cool. I'm tutoring in the Ohio Reading Corps now, and one of my kids is like slipping me candy during class time. I don't know if he's bribing me for like future.
That was the other way around. It'd be illegal.
Oh my god. Oh. Or this could be. Actually, you know what? I don't want to say too much.
Minute and a half left, Manny.
Please conduct.
No, I want to. I just realized like I'm probably incriminating myself, and this is probably going to be used in the court of law someday. Yeah. I'm just okay. It's the kids like to hug. Like the kids are. It's the
don't preface that sentence like that.
The kids like to hug what, Mandy?
I do the sideways like shoulder. Oh, you're
Christian
good.
Side
that's,
hug.
That's yeah. cool.
Christian side hug.
Yeah.
I'm saving room for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Hora.
Let's just talk, can we talk, came here, what we came here to talk about?
I watched American Vandal this week.
Yeah, what'd you think? Did you watch all of it?
Trouble with kids. No, I'm not all the way done yet. I just got through with the theory that Coach Rafferty might somehow be involved with Mackenzie.
Okay, so you probably have like girlfriend. Two or three episodes left.
Yeah, I got like three left, I think. And I thought it was pretty slow at first, mm-hmm. and then I really got hooked by the end of the first episode.
The joke premise, it like kind of wears off.
Yeah.
Like pretty quick.
Yeah.
But then like the characters and shit become super engaging.
The characters drive it.
And
absolutely.
It's so good.
Alex Trimboli was one of my favorite characters ever.
He's
hilarious.
He's so good. They're
and
all really
the
good.
And then
the Kraz. The Kraz. Who was
the teacher that... Oh, yeah. I don't want to say any of my students are hot, but oh my God, dude. Like, he just plays that... Everybody had that teacher in high school, you know, that was like... Yeah.
Trying to be
like
the cool dad.
Just
cool
out teacher. Of college, but yeah, they were the cool teacher. And like,
oh my God. No, one of my science teachers, like, he was so cool with, like, all the girls in class, and he let the girls call him Salzy. In fact, he seemed to prefer it. But one time, like, this dude in class called him Salzy, and he goes, no, that is not for you. And I don't know if it was a personal thing against Ooh. The kid, or if it was, like, just the dudes were not allowed.
That's really gross.
But that made, it's terrible. And looking back on it, I was like, no, this is just a really, really cool teacher, but...
Maybe.
Mm. Yeah.
You never know. You never know these days.
If it's gender specific,
yeah.
That's weird. That's, yeah. Have you watched American Vandal?
No, I have not.
You should watch it. It's pretty good. I don't want to ruin the premise, but the premise... Do you know what it is?
I think I watched the trailer for it. Like, somebody drew a dick on all the cars.
Someone spray painted a bunch of dicks on the cars, and they do like a Making a Murderer style documentary about it.
Okay.
It's fucking great.
It's amazing. Yeah, they do a good job parodying it.
Yeah, I was really worried. I'm like, all right, I'll watch the first episode. I'm like, if the joke wears off, it's, you know, whatever. And I watch it, and I'm like, oh, okay. I see what they're getting at here. Yeah. Speaking of in conspiracy theories and who did what, guess what we got this week?
What do we got?
You didn't even sound so excited about it. I was being condescending.
Oh.
We got another fucking voicemail from this weirdo.
Oh. The truther.
Do you not know what the word condescending
is? No, I just get excited by condescension.
Oh, yeah,
no,
me too.
See, his it was still monotone, but it was raised an octave overall,
right.
And it was a little bit louder.
Yeah.
And he went from sitting like this to like sitting like this.
That's true. Arms crossed.
You piqued my interest.
Oh, yeah.
You twinged.
Well, we got another one from this.
From the truther. I don't know.
I don't even know why we give him airtime, to be honest. Like, he does is talk shit about
spreading lies about us. None of it's true. I don't have my girlfriend, Claire Andori, locked up in my basement, and I did not make a clone of her. And
I'm not from a planet based on a sequel to a rollerblading movie named Xanadu.
You're not Xanadunian.
Yeah.
Xanadun.
Yeah.
Shit.
On. You think I would make it that easy for him?
That's what supervillains always do, and now I'm kind of starting to believe
it.
Are
you guys monologuing right now?
Maybe a little bit.
Are we monologuing?
Ooh, now I want to watch The Incredibles. That's so good.
Way to have an ADD brain.
Thank you.
Just like all Xanadunians really do.
We have ADD pills. That's what our ground is made out of.
The whole ground is made out of
antidepressive. Everyone on Xanadu and Ian Xanadu is manic-depressive.
Adderall and roller skates go together, right?
Yeah, of course.
The element Xanax is from the planet Xanadu.
It's true. Yeah. Well, let's listen to what this fucking weirdo has to say real quick.
Hello, my name is Craig. You may know me as Craig. The truth speaker.
Oh, there he is.
I wanted to clarify a few things and let you know everything that I'm saying is not true. I'm sorry for spreading fake news. I just, you know, it's not true. George is not a Xanadunian, and Devin Newsom does not have Claire Nandori taken hostage in his basement.
Thank you. God.
I figured it was important to clarify this to you guys because I don't want you thinking the truth, because let me tell you, it's all true. I swear to God, George is a man of duty, and I swear to God, and seven, no, God damn it!
Cut that shit off.
Did he just get done, like, jogging? Or, like, was he recording that as he was jogging? He seemed really winded.
I heard he had to climb up a hill to get an internet service, so that probably wouldn't do it.
Probably. I mean, there's no way this guy sits in front of his computer all day. There's no way, like, he stands up and he's just winded.
Yeah, obviously. I want to see him in person.
He's probably on, like, 4chan all the time. And
come here and make those claims to my face. I don't know.
He's a fucking coward.
I think we should kill him.
Made a goddamn Twitter account. Second shot exposed.
We are honest every week. We lay it all out there.
We've never lied about anything.
Nope.
Never.
I'm wondering if he's the conspiracy. Maybe. Because, like, everything that you premised that phone call with, he said. So now it's like, is he trying to pull some strings here? What's he trying to cover up?
Maybe he's like the mindset of a Trump America created into one person.
And if he's trying to get away from us, why does he keep calling our phone number?
Yeah.
Right. It's fucked up.
I mean, like, it's obvious that I'm not the one chasing after him.
He's trying to change the conversation. What is he trying to cover up? Cover up, Craig.
Yeah, Craig.
I think we're going to have to
Craig. Is your real name.
Second shot Craig exposed on Twitter.
I think,
who's he got in his basement?
Right, Craig.
Maybe he's got the real Craig. Maybe he's the Xanadunian.
Craig.
Yes, Craig.
I don't know.
I can't keep giving this guy airtime. Like, it's too much, man. Like, he keeps spreading lies, all this fake news. He's saying it's not, you know, he's everything he's saying is a lie and all this stuff, but, like, you know, I've seen Star Trek, man. You know, like, I get it. Everything I'm saying is a lie. This next sentence is false. Right. Come on. Fuck you. Get out of here.
If you have any information on Craig, please call our number.
Let me find it real quick.
I don't know. It's
I probably should have had that up before.
216-216.
216-216-216-216.
I don't think that's any of the
call us at 216-309-0942.
Information on Craig, please. If you know his whereabouts, we need to find him and we need to stop him.
Please, we need him. We need him out of our lives. He is ruining it, and he is.
Matter of fact, don't even call us. Just get us his head on a silver platter.
Yes, please kill him.
Kill Craig.
Murderize him.
Right, well, because you just got done telling me, like, it's not just affecting you guys, too, right? Like, your girlfriend can't go to the store now without somebody accusing her of being a clone, right?
Right, and she's gotten a lot of nasty comments about Clony this, Clony that.
And every time
second player.
People calling her George Clooney and all these other slurs, and I just...
She was great in The Descendants, though.
She was, and I don't know, she's got a big head about it, and I try to not pump her up too much, but she's...
I mean, Devin, if you're gonna clone the next one, maybe clone a smaller head. Just saying.
What?
If you're gonna clone your girlfriend again, clone a smaller head, because you said she had such a big head.
I haven't figured out how to make the head smaller. I'm sorry. It's imperfect.
We'll work on it, but, you know. But every time I go to the drive-in, I do my drive-in, there's just a bunch of people protesting, and they talk so loud you can't even hear the movie. They're just like, hell no, George won't go back to his home planet. Fills with Adderall.
I don't know, that sounds a little racist to me, too.
It's pretty, yeah. He's trying to build that space wall. It just hurts, you know? Like, that's...
You just want to watch a movie.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, this week we're going to be talking about Ghostbusters 2. Let's just, like...
Featuring Tom Betty's ghost.
It was a wet burp.
I tasted that in my mouth, and I'm across the table.
People are complaining about the mouth sounds of the chili.
Whenever I burp, the listeners should know, whenever I do burp, I like to spit whatever comes out into the mouth of who's ever immediately around me. Yeah, so I like to...
Which is something he picked up from George.
Yeah.
That's what they do on Xanadu.
It's just...
No.
No, Mandy.
Oh.
You think this is some improv yes and kind of conversation? No, it ain't. Okay?
It's a no.
Looks like
and.
I'm a Xana dud.
You're already making us watch Ghostbusters 2.
It is a good movie. Can I finally say what I came here to say?
No, we're going to go watch it, and then you'll talk about it.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Yeah, it does. All right, let's go watch this movie. I'm already furious at Mandy. Let's come on. Ready, Evan?
I'm ready to bust. No, I'm less ready than I was before.
There's a lot of fluid in the second one.
Ding 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 ding
Ray Parker Jr.
Weird, cool thing.
Jesus, that's the spookiest voice I've heard
honestly,
in my entire life.
I thought it was kind of sexy.
Thank you. That's what I do. That's the only reason I do this podcast. It's a good laugh. Show off my vocal talents.
Is it working? Just based only the vocal talents?
No. All right. You know, they...
We'll keep trying. Practice makes perfect.
In girl's hair, I have a good tongue, though.
Ew!
But
I like upset myself when I say things sometimes. Welcome back to the Second Shot Podcast. We just watched Ghostbusters 2, so obviously you could tell we needed a good laugh because we didn't get it for the last 2 hours.
Speaking of Ray Parker Jr.
Yes, speaking of Ray Parker Jr.
I don't know where his life has gone, but I do know one thing he is doing. He was at a Cavs game last year.
Was he?
At halftime performing...
What? Did he do the Ghostbusters theme?
Performing the Ghostbusters theme to a basketball audience. And it might
did
still be
able
to
look house? Up...
Of course you did. It's the fucking Ghostbusters
you
theme.
You might be able to look up the video, but it was sad. It was... Like, I don't know if maybe just because I was watching a video not there in the arena... And not hearing all the crowd noise and everything, but it sounded so sad. It seemed so sad.
Do you think he got screwed on a royalty deal for that? Like,
I don't know.
No, because the whole thing with the Ghostbusters theme song was that it was supposed to be Huey Lewis. And that's why it sounds like such a Huey Lewis song.
Oh,
and Huey Lewis said, fucking no, I'm going to do Back to the Future. Which is like, you know, if you have the choice between Ghostbusters and Back to the Future, I mean, Ghostbusters is a better movie, but like...
But Ghostbusters is the better song.
It's
the Power of Love?
Yeah, it's a win-win. Yeah, it's a win-win no matter what.
That would have been his wheelhouse. Like, that's his song.
Yeah, and I think Huey Lewis tried to sue Ray Parker for basically stealing his sound.
Really?
For the Ghostbusters theme song.
But how?
Which...
Then he didn't write it? Or
no, he wrote it. Like, a committee wrote the Ghostbusters theme.
Does
song,
Huey Lewis
like,
know that his sound isn't his sound? Also, by the way,
I mean, I don't think. I think the one thing you could say about Huey Lewis is he's very self-aware. Although to be fair, he did that video with Weird Al for the 30th anniversary of Sports.
Oh,
where it was Weird Al and Huey Lewis reenacting the scene from American Psycho. Where
sounds awesome.
Yeah,
is that online?
Yeah, it's great. It's a Funny or Die thing. But like Huey Lewis plays Christian Bale's character, and Weird Al is
Weird Al gets murdered
with
him.
The axe.
Yeah,
you know,
Paul Allen.
Yeah, Paul Allen. And it's instead of the conversation about it's Huey Lewis. Instead of the conversation about Huey Lewis, it's about how much Huey Lewis is angry about I Want a New Duck, about Weird Al's cover or parody of that song. God, I love I Want a New Duck.
But the good
when the quack starts, like quack quack quack, it's the funniest fucking thing ever.
It's amazing.
And like maybe Ray Parker Jr. would do your guys' podcast. Like if he's just
maybe
I would fucking love that.
Yeah, if he's just doing Cavs games, we're totally
just
on
doing
the level
Cavs
games.
You know, we haven't done a Cavs game yet. Devin.
We got to do that next year.
Yeah, with Ray Parker Jr.
We'll do a live second shot at the Cavs stadium at halftime on the floor. They'll love us.
That's a dude you could probably get a hold of on Twitter, George.
Ray Parker Jr.? We could. Does he have a Twitter?
I don't know.
I'm going to look that up right now.
All I know is that Caston makes me feel good, and I hope it makes him feel good, too.
I love Chrome Caston.
Podcasting, not Chrome Casting.
Ray Parker Jr.
Anyway,
Twitter.
We just watched Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters Part Deuce.
Secret of the Ooze.
Okay, so this is definitely not
a structurally the same thing as Mighty Morphin Power Rangers or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm sorry, I missed that part. I just noticed that Ray Parker Jr. not only does he have a Twitter, but he mashed up himself and Tom Petty and then posted a Dropbox links to it.
Honestly, that's not cool, man. Tom Petty dies, and Ray Parker Jr. is like on that. Like this is my
oh no,
comeback.
It's not. It's not a mashup. It's just a pic. He couldn't even post the JPEG of the picture. He posted a Dropbox links of the JPEG of him and Tom Petty on the same stage together. It's the fucking greatest thing in the world, and it's such a boring picture. It's just like Tom Petty playing and a black guy's in the background. Oh.
That's
it's so
ridiculous.
Great. And he just titled it Ray Petty 1.
Oh,
Ray
no.
Petty Jr.
Poor Ray. Oh, god damn. And they're all just links to his Facebook page.
Free Fallin' makes me feel good.
Not a fake laugh.
That's my first time experiencing that. I feel honored. I will say, feel honored to get that reaction laugh out of you. I've never heard that from you, Mandy. I guess I haven't hung out with you that much.
No.
But that's...
I always just see you on George's porch.
The best thing to
do... where I live.
when she starts laughing, that just go... It just creates a deeper level of it.
I feel awesome. I feel like I'm validated for initiating that.
I'm sure there will be plenty of those tonight.
I feel like that's a life accomplishment.
Achievement unlocked.
Yes. So yeah, we there's more than I've laughed in this last 2 hours. I will say that much.
May I make my case?
Well, I was gonna say, okay, so Mandy, why?
I am not arguing for it as the greatest movie of all time.
No.
I'm not arguing for it even as greater than the Ghostbusters 2, but here is my why.
I will say this. Last week, you did tell me you prefer it over the first one.
I do. I personally do. Okay. And I know that that's unpopular.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So the big things are Sigourney Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like their opening explanations of things. I think that's rather than like a classic recap, I thought all their conversations were very believable. And if you hadn't seen the first one, it was a good way to catch everybody up to speed. And then three, why everybody loved The Incredibles is like, what would it be like if superheroes were in the real world and they would get sued all the time? So here's Ghostbusters 2. I thought that was a believable thing. What would the aftermath be? They have a lot of cleanup. New York City's a mess. So I thought that was really interesting.
Avengers.
I think they could have gotten into that more, actually. That should have maybe been the movie instead of the Statue of Liberty walking down. Spoilers.
yeah, don't spoil but, Ghostbusters 2, a 28-year-old movie.
And I actually think that I enjoyed spending more time with the characters because we see that Bill Murray, and they did, that's a criticism too, it's a double-edged sword, relied way too heavily on Bill Murray in this movie. But we see without all the other fanfare going on around it and all the other characters and storylines, Bill Murray isn't that charming. Venkman is a creep. Like, he's not, so I think that's not what they were going for.
He's a real Slimer.
Yeah.
A real onion head.
What if it's a poltergeist thing and Slimer's just an extension of Venkman's personality? Mm-hmm. What if the ooze had been building up in New York City since the first movie?
Guess but who anyway. Slimer slimed in the first movie? Guess who Slimer slimed in the first movie?
Who did Slimer slime in the first movie?
Venkman.
What if that's his dude? What if that's like his anti-Jiminy Cricket?
I say that wildly disagreeing with you.
And I do think, I know you brought up Egon a lot. He would never say that. He would never do that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting to think of Egon growing in that five times. He goes from being a guy that we can safely assume is usually in a lab, hasn't had a lot of social interaction. Suddenly Ghostbusters blows up. He's out in the real world. He's probably getting interviewed on TV. And I think we actually see him experimenting with humor and experimenting with making jokes since he's been out of the lab for a while. And this is... So that's why he comes off as hamming it up, because he is, because that isn't in his nature to do, but having been exposed to the outside world, that's him, and I think that's very believable for his character.
Yeah.
Is there more? So, I'm going to let you go, and then...
And I think it is... I wish I would have seen more of that, but I think we do see them sort of bringing to light some social issues like that we're seeing now. Your brother was bringing up, there was a giant Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man walking down New York City. How could people just forget about that? But how do people deny climate change? You know what I mean? Especially back in the 1980s, where you don't have the cell phones, you don't have the Twitter, you don't have this. So even though it's the entire city of New York that witnessed this, it was a small sample population, in Times Square that would have actually seen that firsthand. And they're not... You still have key people that would have been in charge of the media at the time, slowly over time changing the narrative. And as you have a whole bunch of stuff to clean up and rubble to clean up and that sort of thing, people do forget, and they're getting, you know, they can't get to work because of all the construction that needs done. And so I think you see the fickleness and forgetfulness of human nature in that.
Mm-hmm. Like whatever's happening in the present is the biggest issue.
Yeah.
That time.
And I don't think it's that unbelievable. And then, they brought up the lawsuits and things like that. I think it would have been a better movie if that had been the focus of it. But I think it was really cool they brought it up because it was still like the 1980s. And in that way, even sampling that kind of narrative or that kind of storyline is very, I think, ahead of its time.
Yes.
So there's a lot of fun stuff to think of, and that's why I prefer it, because I spend most of my time at crack.com if I'm going on the internet, mm-hmm. and that's where I kind of live, is going, okay, well, what went on between the scenes that I didn't see? What went on in the 5 years I didn't see? And what they hinted at was very entertaining for me to think about.
This movie is very meta, for sure. Like, I mean, this movie is about... I mean, it was 1984 was when Ghostbusters came out. This movie came out in 1989. It's a movie about, you know, the culture of the Ghostbusters after 5 years. Nobody gives a fuck about the Ghostbusters. They made a cartoon that was successful, but, you know, the people who would go see Ghostbusters in 1984 don't give a fuck about Ghostbusters now. So that's why they're, you know, in the movie performing at birthday parties, doing dances to the same Ghostbusters theme song. Right. And
how old were those kids when it happened? Three? Like if they're eight, so they don't even remember it, and
their
brothers and sisters have aged out of
about
that.
It. It's just like, oh, it's like hiring a clown. No fucking kid ever asks for a clown. You know, it's just like your parents are just like, oh, kids like this thing.
It's who we can afford.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like there are a lot of things in this movie that are going for it. You know, like it's really trying to be like this whole like. It's trying to do a little social commentary and like, hey, why doesn't the world be nicer to each other? You know, and that kind of thing where it's like, all right, yeah, well, I get yeah, what I you guys it, are going for, but fucking...
The biggest issue is it was a movie that came out in 1989 as a sequel.
Yeah, well, it's a comedy sequel. All comedy sequels are terrible, aside from maybe like 22 Jump Street and like...
Rush Hour 2.
Rush Hour 2.
Yeah.
Wayne's World 2 is okay. You know, like there are some okay comedy sequels. Comedy sequels are... 99% of the time terrible.
Most
but that still doesn't excuse how boring this fucking movie is.
The pacing is off, and it feels like why couldn't they have given Ernie Hudson some lines?
At this point, like in this movie, it's just like it's unexcusable.
Like, why is he even there, actually, if they're not going?
Because he was in the first one.
He's a black guy. That's why he's there.
And he was in the first one. It's the same with Rick Moranis. The fact that Rick Moranis puts on. So Rick Moranis putting on a Ghostbuster suit was. I'll take a step back for a second. So Ghostbusters was the very first movie I ever latched onto. It is the movie for me when I was a kid. Like, and this was like, again, so the time displacement from Ghostbusters 1 to Ghostbusters 2, and then Ghostbusters 2 to where I got into Ghostbusters, which was like 95, you know, was like it was just, there was no Ghostbusters stuff. You couldn't find it. There was no internet to buy that stuff. So I would get these weird hand-me-down or knockoff Ghostbusters things.
Aww.
But it was like my favorite. I named my first pet, my turtle, Egon, because I loved Egon, you know. So the one thing I loved Rick Moranis and Egon, like those were, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name now? I keep blanking on his name. Who plays Egon?
Harold Ramis.
I loved those two. Like, I liked Bill Murray, and even as a kid, I thought Dan Aykroyd was a creep. But, like, when I saw, my one thing when I was a kid was I wanted Rick Moranis to be a Ghostbuster because he wasn't a Ghostbuster in the first one. And as a kid, when I saw Ghostbusters 2, I was like, oh my God, he's a Ghostbuster. He's in his Ghostbuster uniform. And you watch it as an adult, you're like, this might be the worst thing they've done in the entire series. Like, other than the Statue of Liberty thing.
Well, yeah, I think if they weren't going to build that up throughout the movie, it does seem very
lush. Comes literally out of nowhere, and it has no bearing. It's not even all that funny. Like, it's kind of sweet a little bit that he's like, oh, cool. Like, he gets a little moment. But, like, it's all hollow because you know he doesn't do anything. And even, like, the people around him are kind of patting him on the back, but that's all he's getting. He's like, he already got to fuck Annie Potts. You can't do better than that in this movie. Like,
well, they were babysitting.
It's true.
And just one thing led to another. Yeah.
That's, there's so many things. Like, I keep, like reminding myself of things. Like, Annie Potts being, like, she was, like, kind of sexual. Like, she was very forward in the first one, but she was also very, like, nonchalant and devil may care kind of about everything. This one, she's just like full on, just like wrapping her legs like, around.
We know what you want.
And it's also like
our previous fans have come of age now. So here you go, 16 year
old.
It's
weird. And like,
and Dana, mommy's going to take her shirt off too.
Everybody just seems like a caricature of what people thought the first movie was, you know, like, I don't know, like, there's so much of, like Egon. Like, it seems like it's more based off of the cartoon character versions of them than they are the original versions of them.
I think, well, what was going on, can you IMDb real quick for me, just out of curiosity? Because I really do, what were they doing in between Ghostbusters? Because it could be a victim of that, too.
Who's
like,
they?
Is that
Dan Aykroyd and...
And Bill Murray and Harold Ramis and stuff like that. Because they could actually be victims of their own success as well. Like, just beyond Ghostbusters.
Blues Brothers come out before or after
was Ghostbusters? It was actually 5 years in between the two movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time.
Especially in the
80s. That's the only excuse for me that it was so Bill Murray heavy. Like, what movies had he just put out?
Bill Murray only wrote Dragnet. In between Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2.
Not writing, and what was he in?
I mean, acting-wise, I mean, it's probably just a bunch of middle, like, cameos and stuff. Let me see. But, I mean, Dragnet. Oh, boy, that movie's gross. That movie sucks. Yogi Bear. Forgot about Yogi Bear.
Hey, Boo-Boo. Oh, Justin Timberlake as Boo-Boo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was on an episode of The Real Ghostbusters. Into the Night, Nothing Lasts Forever. I Despise Like Us. Not very good, but fine, whatever. Dragnet, The Great Outdoors, Caddyshack 2. My Stepmother. Oh, My Stepmother is an Alien. Yeah, no, this is, like, Ghostbusters was literally his last hurrah. Like, at least for Dan
Aykroyd.
He went right off the deep end, but... I mean, everybody else, like, who knows? Bill Murray.
Dan Aykroyd had stuff after this, though.
Not really.
My Girl?
I mean, yeah, but, like, not exactly something you remember.
Is that some
before.
Dan Aykroyd? I'm just wondering if they were. Bill Murray must have put out a hit in order for him to be this the centerpiece of this, because the first one was much more balanced.
No, he was the centerpiece of that movie. Ghostbusters is the reason. Like, I mean, like he was in Caddyshack. Let's see, Meatballs, Caddyshack, Stripes. There you go.
So I think they kind of threw him in there like, Tootsie, okay, dude, go do your thing. You're the hottest thing right now. And it doesn't work in retrospect. But yeah. I think it's forgivable just based on Hollywood in general.
I mean, the Ghostbusters was like the peak.
Well, yeah.
For Bill Murray. Like, Bill
did
Murray.
You, whose credits did you just read to me?
Bill Murray.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's what was it? Meatballs, Caddyshack, Stripes, Tootsie, Ghostbusters, Little Shop of Horrors, Scrooge, Ghostbusters 2. What About Bob?
Okay.
Like, I mean, again, this is everybody, like, just right at the end of this is their peak, is Ghostbusters
1. Oh, well, that makes sense in my head, too. Then they were just having fun with it, and they're like, this doesn't need to be good. We've done what needs to be good. Let's just get together and have fun.
It was literally like Columbia said, hey, your cartoon made a lot of money. Your first movie made a lot of money. Let's make a movie. And then everybody said, we don't know how we feel about this movie. Or feel about making another movie, like, here's more money. And they did it.
For that, like, the meta stuff that does go on is still, like, very good. I guess that's how I'm viewing it.
They tried enough. But it's still not good. Like, I mean, like, I think the biggest crime of this movie is it's not funny. Like, there are moments. Like, Bill Murray really tries.
Well, I think it starts out really, really strong. And even like when I was sitting there, I was like, oh, towards the end, I was like, oh, I forgot about this part. But like it's front loaded, I guess.
I mean, compared to the last half, which is awful. Yeah. Devin, what did you think?
Well,
I mean,
we were already arguing over it before it was over.
I don't know. This movie's always been one that's stuck out in my head. It's one I watched a lot when I was younger and didn't really ever revisit. In my later years, and there's a lot of iconic things in there, like Vigo the Carpathian is super. Mm-hmm. That painting is just always stuck in your head from this movie, and I don't know. Looking back on it, like a lot of the happy things I remember from it were just based off of the characters and who and what they built from the first movie, and just remembering that, and it was. I didn't hate it. Like, it was very slow, and it was very, just kind of, like we said, it was just, like, hammed up a whole bunch. But I think that they had a formula for a movie, and it was a cash grab, and there's not that much special about it. Like, there was nothing that really grabbed me. Watching it again now, like, I don't know.
It's just, like, you just kind of sit there, and it's just kind of, like, there in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, the magic of the first Ghostbusters is just gone. Like, there's nothing there. Like, even their chemistry just seems off. It just seems like they don't want to be around each other very much.
Do you see? I actually did not get that sense.
Really?
Yeah. I think if they had shortened it, there was no reason it needed to be as long as it did, if they weren't going to have something that carried it all the way through. But I honestly saw a bunch of dudes hanging out like brothers. Like, they tickled each other in one scene.
A little bit.
I think it was still there. I think the dialogue wasn't as good, but that was primarily because they relied so much on Bill Murray. But I still sensed that bond. And I thought I thought it was cute when Egon smiled. He's like, oh, I'm making a joke with the guys now. Like, so I found that very endearing.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were parts of Egon kind of breaking out of a shell a little bit that I found enjoyable. But like, him, like, getting all weird and goofy when Sigourney Weaver kisses him, you know, and, like, I don't know, there's just some weird stuff that just, like, I mean, the morals of the Ghostbusters as a core has always been a little bit weird, but usually Stance is like kind of the more like, let's go do this. We got to help these people. You know, Egon's like, I need to find out this knowledge. And then Bill Murray's character.
It's just always awful doing something
he's
else.
He's just like, what am I going to get out of this?
Yeah, he shows up when there's
so when done. The courtroom scene happens, they, all the two ghosts come out, kidnap the one prosecutor, And they all circle around the judge and say, well, we can't do nothing. We can't help anybody. Stance would 100% go and say, we got to help her. 100%. Without a doubt. And then they never address it.
I disagree, because it has been 5 years. The city's burned them. I think we see a much more cynical stance, and I think that happens in real life.
I don't think he's
life.
Cynical. He wouldn't have made an occult bookstore if he was cynical like that.
Well, that's just Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd actually believes
no,
that
I know
stuff.
That.
Like, no, well, yeah, he...
Then that's just bad character.
Well, no, I think...
That's just back and forth on a character. Like, I mean, it's not like...
Well, the occult isn't inherently evil, and if he is interested in that stuff, he would... I could see him opening up a bookstore. I remember he said, tell the coven I said hi. Wicca and stuff made its big comeback in the 80s, so I can see him actually promoting, or in his mind, it being a big social issue for him, that witchcraft is real, these people aren't crazy, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And again, like him going, we can't do anything. I used to have a heart. I used to have a soul. And just stuff that's happened to me within the last 5 years has made me much more like, what's the point? Like, not to get too
it,
much into
but
the
I mean, like,
the
core of that character is just not there then, if that's the case. I mean, again, this is just one scene, but none of them are being, I mean, they were never really heroic. They're not like superheroes or anything. I mean, they were kind of in a sense, like in the abstract in the first movie, but in this one, they're just kind of like, well, we're just kind of stumbling upon these things. I mean, they stumbled upon them in the first one, too, but, like, they're just kind of like, well, these things are happening. This thing also happens.
Job.
Yeah.
Not even that. Like,
well, it's being written into the movie as well that, well, and also he had come into contact with the slime, and he was the only one. It was written into the script that everybody's getting more evil, more cynical, more dirty. And if you think about it, they were
you
still...
You didn't touch a slime at that point.
But just the presence in the city. It was suggested that the people were feeding off of it. Like a gas leak kind of thing. It was a gas leak 5 years.
I don't think the people were feeding off of it. It was feeding off the people.
But it was getting worse. They kind of, and when you actually come into contact with it, it makes you want to kill. So that's the impression of the writing I got. So I think it makes sense that the Ghostbusters, even though they surrounded the judge and said, give us our ability to do our job back, they're still morally superior to everybody else in the city. I think it was kind of my impression. And it makes... And I thought it was interesting, too, and this is me projecting, but Egon got out of the sewer and didn't immediately want to kill them, and I thought that makes sense because Egon's character traditionally doesn't have very many emotions, so he's not going to give
Except
in to the...
Except for in this movie.
Yeah, but because of the juice. The city juice.
It wasn't because of the city juice.
No, I know, but I thought
because
that
he was covered in it, and that was the only time he wasn't emotional.
Yeah. But he was excited. He's like, guys, it's this stuff, because he was feeling something for the first time in his life.
Except for the rest of the movie before that. I mean, like...
A sense of humor isn't necessarily an emotional thing. That's like a social cue but it doesn't have to necessarily be... Like, you can be... Know. Well, look at the British. Like, they're very dry. They have barely any emotion, but they still have a sense of humor.
I think it's part of the development of filmmaking and putting emotion and, like, real life on screen is... They're not very good at it in the 80s. In most
Thank
of the
you.
Time. In, like, most of the movies you watch, like, they take a lot of liberties, and it's a lot of just very glossed over emotional themes. For the most, I'm not going to stereotype every 80s movie like that, mm-hmm. but when you're watching, like, some of these classics, you have to think back to the time that it was made in and kind of ignore some of the cheesiness or some of the unbelievable parts of it. And, like, at this time, a stunt like the Statue of Liberty walking through the city had never been seen. In today's day and age, that is completely ludicrous and stupid, and it's like, holy shit, that does not impress me at all. Like,
Right. No, I think it's exactly that was something I made off before the podcast was... Ghostbusters is a great movie, any area you put it in. Ghostbusters 2 is a 1980s movie. And if it had only ever been Ghostbusters 2, if you cut out the 5 years later and just have that as a plot, it still would have made money at the box office, but we wouldn't be talking about it. But it still probably would have been one of the better 80s movies.
In 1989, we had Batman, we had Back to the Future Part 2. There were a lot of movies in 1989.
Right, but also look at it this way, too. Every year, Billboard puts out a top 100. We only ever really end up talking about the top 10. There's a bunch of movies that came out, and they weren't released nationally. They
so,
were
the argument of taking it for its time, trust me, you're talking to the right person in that mm-hmm. sense. Like, I mean, I make a lot of defenses for a lot of weird 80s movies, trust me. But at the same point, there's a large difference. Like, you're never going to live up to the first Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. No one's expecting that. Like, I mean, even when the new Ghostbusters came out, like, I'm like, okay, I just want it to be funny. I want it to be fun, and I want everyone to get along. That's all I want. So with this one, I wanted it to be funny. It failed. I want it to be fun. It failed. Everyone to get along? Sure. Enough. You know? So, with the whole... It fell into the trappings of 80s movies that a lot of, like, 80s excess did. Especially at the end of the 80s, where more is more. With the Statue of Liberty, which is... I mean, not even the excuse of, it was the 80s. Couldn't excuse that.
Well, I guess that's... I laughed throughout the movie, even watching it again. Like, I still had fun. I still enjoyed it.
There were some really good jokes in it. Like, don't get me wrong, but as a whole, it is not enough. Like, for an hour and 50 minutes, it is not funny enough to continue this. And it's not engaging.
I guess
enough.
I still had fun, and I was still engaged. I would argue, remembering... So this is, like, probably the fourth or fifth time I've watched it.
Mm-hmm.
At least the first two times I watched it, I was engaged all the way through. So I don't know if that comes into play. And I agree with you about pacing, but again, like, that's after watching it, like, really sitting and watching it with you after that many times.
Yeah.
So I also think it comes down to, you and I are looking for two different things. So I guess, like, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I'm not saying you're wrong for, like, disagreeing with me.
I'm not even arguing.
I think it's a fun 1980s romp with characters I already love. And so since they're not spending a whole lot of exposition establishing the universe, I can just really kind of get to know and get to appreciate the subtler things. Like the fact they mentioned it was coming up on New Year's Eve, but they didn't try to... They could have cashed into the Christmas thing. There could have been an Ecto-1 release with a refund.
How many ghosts were in this
top.
Movie? Hmm? How many ghosts were in this movie?
Three.
Hang on, let me finish my thought.
Sorry.
With the Christmas...
Four.
Four ghosts, maybe
is what I count.
At the most.
They didn't play up the holiday thing, which is something that could have very easily been done. But he had his little Christmas tree.
They kind
tree
of shoehorned
the
New Year's thing because of the psychic at the beginning. And
yeah, but that's forgivable. So I think they did a good job there. It's I don't know. I'm sorry. No, to hear that.
I'm just saying like. So there weren't that many ghosts in the first one, but at least they were like sort of important to the story. In this one, any ghost that's in this movie is just thrown to the side.
Right, but
there's
I also
demon
think
at the end.
They are still beholden somewhat to the fans. Like, there's a bunch of fan service in here, and we're watching it, you know, in 2017, looking back on it with that point of view. But at that time, that was probably a lot the studio because it was a cash grab,
mm-hmm.
and people would have been going, "Where were the ghosts? Where were the blah 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 blah?" Like, they would have been,
yeah, because it's fucking Ghostbusters, not Demon Busters.
I'm surprised, like, with all the playing up of all the characters that they didn't play up Slimer more.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they played up Slimer as much as they did,
he got one scene driving a bus,
and well, he was in another scene too.
But again, but you have the kids that this is the first time they're experiencing Ghostbusters in theater, so you got to give the little tyke Slimer driving a bus
again, like. There are, I understand where you're coming from, but like it is one sense a spectacle. Like, it's like, oh, new Ghostbusters. It's kind of a novelty. But at the same point, like, if you're going to make it, like, it's not fun. Like, there's no ghostbusting in this movie. Like, there's literally the two electric chair guys, and that's it. There's nothing. Like, in the first one, like, they do their ghost-busting stuff, and then there's a montage. You know, there's Slimer. There's the ghost at the beginning, the library ghost that they just run away from. There's the montage of them busting ghosts, and then there's the demon plot. So it's all pretty much the third act is really where the story happens. And this one, it's almost all first and second act, and then the third act is just like, oh, and then this Carpathian guy shows up, and then he wants his baby, and then everybody sings a New Year's Eve song, and then he goes away.
This is pure speculation, but I really feel that it's possible, because you said they didn't really want to do it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
The studio was like, here's more money. I can see them sitting down and being like, okay, well, let's try to do something different. And then, but still, like, the imbalance of we want to go for something new, but then we still have to tack on all this fan service stuff because of studio involvement, or they've been in Hollywood for a while at this point. So it is very disjointed, but I'm not going to knock them for not wanting to essentially just remake the same movie, because then we would be sitting here going, oh, they just remade the same movie and it was never going to be funny.
They kind of did, though. Beat for beat, it's the exact same movie.
Right. Well, what Devin was saying, they found their formula and they kind of want to stick to that while experimenting with something else. And it just didn't work. I can agree to that. But forgiving all that, like, I don't know. I thought it was fun.
I mean, I can't begrudge you for that. I wish I liked it. As much as I love Ghostbusters, I fucking wish I liked it.
And
I liked Lady Ghostbusters way more than I liked this movie. So much more.
Down that road.
So no, I mean, seen Lady Ghostbusters.
You haven't seen Lady Ghostbusters?
No.
What did you think of Lady Ghostbusters?
I saw it the first time because I just wanted to see it. And I laughed within the first, like, the spoilers, the anti-Irish security fence. Yeah. I thought was a hilarious joke. So from that point, I laughed the whole time. It is one, I think, to see in theaters.
I saw it in 3D.
I saw it. Fun. Yeah, the first time I saw it in 3D. The second time I saw it again, just because I was like, I was a feminist and I was like, I need to make sure this movie makes money so we see more.
Yeah, it is a movie where you kind of have to feel like you have to make a point. You're making a stance watching a Ghostbusters
movie. Like, regardless of how you feel about Ghostbusters, I don't want them to be like, well,
that's the worst thing to happen to that movie.
That's solely because of, yeah, that whole firestorm.
That whole thing is
announced.
This movie, we wouldn't even be talking about Lady Ghostbusters right now if it weren't for that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, yeah, so I had the sense of duty of if this movie tanks, we might never see another female ensemble again in any movie. And then I watched it at home and it did not hold up as well with a home viewing. But yeah, I will say it's a lot funnier and the pacing is better.
Mm-hmm. I really liked Lady Ghostbusters. I've only saw it once.
I thought
it's super funny. And the action was good.
And again, this is not the fault of for it be this. This isn't a
stop calling the it fault. Lady Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well,
it's the easiest way to describe it. It's the most streamlined.
The Ghostbusters remake. This isn't the fault of anybody in the cast or the fault of it being women. I think that they almost went too far back to traditional comedy tropes. It would have been fun to actually. I think that they could have been more creative with it. Well, let's explore it as there could have been a plot where they make a name for themselves and then they actually try to get a TV deal. And now that you have the studio coming in and trying they reference the Ghost Hunters.
I think they were still trying to follow a general structure of, it wanted to feel like Ghostbusters still. So I appreciated that. Like, I liked it. I thought it was funny. I thought Chris Hemsworth was hilarious.
Yeah.
Him covering his eyes when the loud noises happen was so fucking funny.
Which one makes me look more like a doctor?
Yeah.
It's a haunted hot dog. No, that's all really great. I could have done without the scene of them testing the weapons in the alley. Like, just little things like that, I get why they did it.
It's a more modern filmmaking trope, you know?
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I thought, like, the third act overall, other than the weird dance sequence, was good. I don't know. I thought it was so much more cohesive. And all the weird Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray cameos was weird. I like the Ernie Hudson one. I like that he was her aunt or uncle.
Yeah, he was playing someone who wasn't Winston, right?
They're all playing different people.
They're playing different
people.
Yeah,
it's a whole different universe that doesn't...
But then again, even in the modern one, they screw over Ernie Hudson. Why didn't he get as much dialogue as the other two?
Yeah, but I mean, like, to be fair, when you're going up against Bill Murray... I mean, Dan Aykroyd, who gives a fuck? Like, Dan Aykroyd is the guy who wrote the two Ghostbusters movies, so I get he needs some sort of... You know, like, he's the guy who created this stuff.
It's
not dead.
I liked the fact that he said it's not a level 5 take. I enjoyed his cameo the most. It was short, to the point, and
He was way funnier than it had any right to be. I'll say that. The Bill Murray one wasn't very funny, but
he
it was like, whatever.
It down.
Yeah, it was a weird... It just kind of came out of nowhere. But back to Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... Like, this movie is so boring. Like, it's just... It's not like... There's nothing about it that makes me ever want to go back and watch it again.
Here's something to consider, too. Special effects were still kind of a big deal at that point, so I think
they weren't very good.
Well, they weren't very good to us, but if you're seeing it in a big theater as an audience, like, that may have been enough. Like, can we get an old person on the phone that saw it in theaters and ask them what they thought of the special effects?
So, like, even for the 80s, like, So we'd had the face morphing thing. Or no, we hadn't had the face morphing. We had the abyss with the. There was a lot of CG in this movie,
yeah,
which there definitely wasn't in the first one. So we had the face of Viggo coming out a little bit, mm-hmm. which is good. It was solid. It worked, you know, because it was small. It wasn't anything like, but like all the CG with like the tentacles that came out of the goo that just kind of like that. I mean, never came back into play.
Well,
you know,
the bathtub and, like, came out. It came into play.
No, not the. But they weren't tentacles. It was just goo that just turned into.
Well, there was still.
I guess, kind of. I don't know, but like, I don't know. The special effects were just whatever in this movie because they weren't really a centerpiece like the first one was. I don't know. Peter McNichols, though, fucking great. He was easily the best part of this movie. Like he totally got what movie he was in. You know, he played fucking what's his name?
Janusz.
Oh, he was so fucking funny.
Can we talk? That's also another reason why I love this movie, and you know, hashtag no chin moment, I guess. But it did show Sigourney Weaver, like she can't go to work. She's an accomplished woman. She's single momming it up, you know, in 1989. And now also she restores paintings on top of being like a concert cellist.
Well, that's
cellist.
What I was going to say. Yeah, and she's a cellist. Like she's not, why would she record? Oh, that bugged me so much.
Well, no, but it makes sense. If she has enough money to go to school for the cello, she can go back and get, you actually don't need to have like a doctorate to restore paintings. That's like a certificate.
Right, but that's just a she weird like... Well, I think of all the jobs for her to have, kind of thing. Like,
well, no, I think if she's a concert cellist, it would make sense that she appreciates the arts. I thought that totally played into her character of, I'm a smart lady.
But they never say why she needs another job.
Well, because she's raising a child on her own. Her baby daddy just left her.
If she can afford an apartment in New York, the nice apartment that got blown up by a demon dog, I think she can afford that apartment with a kid.
Well, yeah, also, why didn't she move to Cleveland?
Yeah.
It would have been way cheaper.
Cleveland Ghostbusters.
Well, she said he got a better job offer. There's like zero jobs available for concert cellists that pay really, really well. So if she probably had a baby and lost her chair because you need somebody to do the concert.
No, you're creating so much of a story that is
not there. But that's how that works. First seats or first chair, second chair, and then whatever. If you want a high-paying job, there's like four jobs available to you, especially in the New York Philharmonic. So if you get pregnant and you have to take maternity leave, they still need somebody to fill in your seat, so she probably lost her job, and that's something that she could do with a child, so she got her...
That could have been solved with a line of dialogue.
Well, I heard maternity leave, you make the same amount of money anyway.
This is where I think you're nitpicking a little bit.
I am a little bit, but at the same point, like...
But, so, she's...
It's literally a giant plot point. The only reason the Ghostbusters are involved with Viggo the Carpathian is because Sigourney Weaver is attached to the painting in some way.
Right,
like, it is literally a plot, like, of the story.
I thought it was obvious to me. Like, she couldn't continue touring with the Philharmonic, so she had to get a second job. It's a highfalutin job that would make sense within her character. If she's going to work that hard to be a cellist, she probably had a plan B, which was an art history major or whatever.
Maybe.
Like, that makes sense to
Again,
me.
Again, that could have been solved in a line of dialogue.
Her baby dad, and maybe it wasn't, it just got cut. You know, but nonetheless,
in a 2-hour movie.
Original point, because they had to have the special effects, George. Original point, but she's working it, like she's doing her thing, and she can't get a job at the New York Museum of Art without her supervisor being a fucking creep.
Oh yeah, no, I mean the point, yeah, everybody's like a creep in this movie.
Yeah, it's and weird. I just, but that again, like that was something I really, really liked about it that it showed, especially because she wasn't just. The Sloane character, and this goes back to the first movie too. I felt like she was more. We saw a little bit more of her lifestyle and the fact she was rocking it as a single mom in this movie than the first one. But she wasn't just there to make Bill Murray look good. In fact, she made him look worse, kind of.
Yeah, she was the only one calling Bill Murray out on shit. Like he was just as much of a creep in the first one, except for in the first one she would call him out. She would say "fuck you," basically, you know. And in this one, she's just like, "oh, you." And it's just like, oh my God.
I know, but it also,
no one calls him out on this stuff.
Being a single mom, like, I can relate to that. And that's also a plot point, because not everybody who watches it is going to be a single mom. But she's got an 8-month-old baby, and she's probably having trouble paying rent on her own. And she sees this dude, this stranger that she already has a relationship with and she trusts, and who did save her from being possessed.
It's true. One of four people. He's the only one she had sex with.
Yeah. He's like tickling her baby, and that was cool. Out of everything else, I also like that it addressed the idea of, this is a woman he loved that had a baby with another dude, mm-hmm. and now he's got to handle it.
I like seeing the soft spot of Bankman.
Yeah.
I like that he had obviously had a soft spot for babies.
But it would have been, why not explore that? Why not have that be more, but whatever. But that's another reason why I like it, that it had it at all, again, for the time, mm-hmm. especially for the time.
What did you guys think of him being a television show psychic, I guess?
I thought that made
sense. But he just kept looking into the camera and saying, like, this fucking idiot. I'm like, you know ghosts are real. Like, how do you not, like, how are you just like, fuck you, psychic? Like,
that was one thing that was very weird, was the, definitely the, just, they were contradicting themselves on the theme of the movie. Like, obviously ghosts are real. There was a giant marshmallow man in the first movie.
Yeah.
And then the judge, I mean, maybe it came from the negative aspects of the slime or whatever, but just being like, oh,
I mean,
ghouls,
like,
and goblins. And
that's like what Mandy was saying with, like, people. It's so easy to just create a level of doubt in your head. It's, I mean, it's like, yeah, saying Obama, like, isn't from America, you know, like that kind of thing. I get it, but I agree with you that it's kind of like, are you fucking kidding me? There was a giant marshmallow. The fact that it was definitely on the news.
I get that, but, like, at the same time, they totally just, like, I don't know, maybe make the sequel 5 years farther in the future. Like, 5 years isn't that long.
Yeah. It's just weird. Like, there's just so many things about it. Like,
well, that's why I think the national narrative, or the top level narrative, was that it never happened, which, if you want to return to the status quo, of course you have to do that. But I think in the courtroom scene, we did see that they still had supporters. Like, the people in the audience were laughing at Bankman,
they're,
and were clearly
heroes
on his side. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, there's like a, it seemed like it was more focused on the allegory of Ghostbusters the franchise, and mm-hmm. it was very important to them to write that in as the, well, this is what the Ghostbusters are as characters as well, you know.
No, I can see your point there. It did fucking bug me the whole time their suits had the two on them. Why wouldn't you just get the old ones out
especially
of the
when
wad?
You're broke, you know how much money it costs to get those
and
to put them on.
That really fucking bugged me.
Also, that Ghostbuster with the two is the worst. Like, he's got eyeballs and stuff. It's gross.
To your earlier point about Venkman, though, as the TV psychic, again, I think that makes sense to his character. He sold out. He was willing to go on.
It's fine
with
him
and
selling
roll
out,
his eyes.
But him being like, this guy, just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think he has to be the smartest person in the room. Even if somebody were agreeing with him, he's still going to find a way to make you look like an idiot.
But no one's agreeing with him on that show, though. Like, it's the movie reestablishing him as a skeptic, but in the worst possible way.
I didn't get that. I thought it was just him selling out. He knows his show is garbage. He is there for it. That's his cash grab.
Well, he wrote a book about psychics. He genuinely there's a scene after that show where he's talking to his producer about how upset he is that they didn't get a real psychic. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, he's just like, why are you, what happened to this one guy, you know? And he's like, if he didn't give a fuck about the show and he was just selling out, he wouldn't even have that conversation.
Well, then you could easily argue that was him being upset. They didn't get the guy he wanted, so he went diva, and he just was like, well, this whole episode is garbage because it didn't go my way.
I guess, but, like, I don't know. It just seems like a weird turn for Venkman. For someone who was literally, in the first movie, doing cards, like psychic cards, just to get laid. You know, like, that's what Venkman would do. He wouldn't do it, like, he would do it to get laid, he wouldn't do it for the fame. Because he doesn't give, maybe he would do it for the fame. I don't know. Like, I feel like he's very much a ham. Especially, in the end of the first movie, he's, like, the first one to go to the camera. He's the face of the Ghostbusters. But
and they made him way too handsome in the cartoon. That bugged me.
His little poofy hair, yeah. Little coif or whatever he has
why?
On.
Do you know why they did that? Why they made the characters look so different? I kind of get it to a degree. No, in the cartoon.
I don't think they're that different. I think they probably just didn't have enough of a model to go off of. They're probably like, well, just take... It was probably like non-color copies of Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis and everyone. Like, and they're like, we'll just cartoon them up a little bit. I mean, it's like anything. Like, Slimer doesn't look really like Slimer, except he's a green blob. You know, like, Slimer's ugly as fuck in the movies.
But I thought he's kind of cute.
In the cartoon, he's cute as fuck, without a doubt. I mean, Ecto Cooler is the best.
Hat.
Yeah.
I actually did. Say what you want. I liked the Slimer party in the new movie. I thought that was adorable.
I would slime.
I didn't like the Slimer wife.
I would slime.
That was a bit
Slimer.
Too much. I love Slimer. I'd swipe right.
I'd slime all over Slimer.
I'd slime right.
Slime right.
I feel like we're not including you in the conversation.
I don't know. I'm just like...
What do you feel about the original Ghostbusters? I mean, other than the fact that it's just iconic, like...
I mean, it's obviously a great ensemble and a great movie and a great classic and iconic, like you said. And it's
a great classic.
They just repeated it. Like, it's... That's why I haven't been talking much, because it's very...
Is this your Tokyo Drift? Another Tokyo Drift?
No, it's not to that. I like this better than Tokyo Drift.
Oh, Jesus.
But... I don't... It's just like a movie to me. Like, I don't have much to say about it.
Yeah.
It's just like...
It's just there.
It's there, and it's something like... It could have sentimental value to people, and I can see that being... Like Jordan said to me, he had an ex-girlfriend who he had sex with for the first time while Ghostbusters 2 was on. And I was like, all right, I can get why you have an emotional attachment to that.
Is that why you like Hotel Transylvania 2 so much?
Please don't bring that movie up.
But
they're showing that at the drive-in on Friday for their horror movie marathon, and it'll be on the opposite screen of where I'm sitting. I'm very upset. But I get to watch Christine in a car, so that's cool.
That's all right. But I don't know. It's just an okay movie to me. Like, I've been thinking this whole time about like whether it's a hit or miss for me, and it's hard for me to judge because like it's not bad to me. It's
you sound like you were about to cry.
I'm burp. I know. It's very emotional. It's not bad. This slime in the room is getting me very emotional right now. But I don't. It's, if I had to lean one way, it would be a miss just because it doesn't blow me away.
Mm-hmm.
And I had fond memories of it growing up just because I remember it being there and being a movie, but watching it again tonight, it was like not that special.
Yeah, Mandy originally wanted to watch both of them.
Okay.
And then talk
that
about
that. That was a mistake,
one.
I remember. But again, you remember the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I did. And I guess that's it for me too, is like, I remember the good stuff more than the bad stuff, so it's never been so bad to me that the parts I didn't like stuck out. But the good parts were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, on, you know, if it's like this way, it's like, and this, I'm doing hand gestures, so I don't know if somebody wants to narrate.
Great podcast.
But, like, yeah, so it's not under or over here.
I think we're too drunk to verbalize this.
Okay, so if
I'm
this
drunk
is,
and tired.
And this is like, like, it's more. Up here for me, because like if I hated it, I would be sitting here going, oh my god, and this happened. I would be kind of doing
me?
What you're doing. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll get into final thoughts, unless you have anything else to say before we get into final thoughts.
We didn't talk about how good the baby was. Can you IMDb
the
baby's
was
movie
adorable.
For
it's
the,
obviously,
the baby's career?
The baby is a twin, like pretty much every movie baby ever.
Is that why we don't see very many twins like here in the Midwest? Do they all go to
watching,
Hollywood
unless
as babies?
You're watching Big Daddy, yeah.
Or Toledo.
Oh boy, what is
Toledo.
His name? Henry
Twinsburg for the
Henry
Twinsburg.
J. Deuschendorf.
You said
Dusseldorf?
That baby was the best baby
I guess
you've ever
Dusseldorf,
seen.
Deuschendorf.
Deuschendorf. He's going to need to change that if he's going to go anywhere.
That baby was not
There's
the
two
best
of them?
Baby. It was a good baby, but it's not the best baby I've ever seen on screen.
And his only credit is Ghostbusters 2, but for whatever reason, he has a picture on IMDb, and then his brother, who is William Deuschendorf.
I feel like nobody
also
gives a
only
shit
has
about
Ghostbusters
these babies.
I thought they were really good.
Yeah, they were good, but nobody.
The baby from Gone with the Wind grew up to marry and sleep with and raise the children of some big 1960s sex symbol. It would be way more interesting if I could remember her name.
Wait, one of them did? Because they're only 29.
No, one of the Gone with the Wind babies.
Oh, I was gonna say like. Those babies from 1989 dated those 1960s sex symbols.
Well, that would be way more interesting than what I initially
Cougar
tried to say. But look up the baby from Gone with the Wind. You're going to have to click full cast and scroll down.
The baby,
for the viewers at home.
I still haven't seen Gone with the Wind.
The baby who played Holly in Breaking Bad was my favorite baby of all time.
Really?
I was going to say, she was a
good baby. You were
going
to say you were attracted to her for a second.
Oh, no. I do not want to fuck babies, if that's what you're implying.
Well, Lisa Simpson lover?
No.
Ew.
I thought she was a great actress.
She's 29 now. Give her a break.
I don't know. Look up that baby. But if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, watch it.
Yes.
She's a
definitely
good baby. When Walt,
Ryan Johnson, director of Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Now, this baby
Ozymandias
turned and looked at the window exactly when he should. This baby went to shake Bill Murray's hand on cue. What did the Breaking
Bad
baby do?
That was a good improv scene. Was very intense, honestly.
When Walt went back
to, spoilers.
Spoiler alert if you haven't watched Breaking Bad by now. When Walt
we're just getting into it, okay.
I think it was the one right after Ozymandias when
Ozymandias is the episode where he steals her.
Wait a
whoa,
minute.
That's
does
the
Breaking
one
Bad cross over into the Watchmen?
No.
Is that the big twist?
Yeah. Walter White is Ozymandias.
Oh wow!
But when he steals the baby and puts her back in the at the fire department, and she's in the fire truck crying, like I thought that was really good acting. I don't
really
know how they
baby
got
acting
that performance. They probably like
it's Ryan Johnson. Like I said,
teased the shit out of her off camera, and then she was crying.
I can't wait to see how he directs the Porgs.
Oh my gosh! Is that
porgs,
how
porgs.
Walter White got cancer in the first place? Did he work with Dr. Manhattan?
Probably in his cancer penis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get back to Ghostbusters 2 and get into our final thoughts.
I guess
Mandy, do you have anything else to say before we do that?
Final thoughts right now. Let's just do it right now.
Yeah, okay. You're so eager to get out
of
here.
I think you need to take the message of Ghostbusters 2 and just find the love in your slime. Get that good goo flowing and just lighten up a little bit.
Take it, man.
Have fun.
That terrible.
It's
cover.
The Statue of Liberty. Do you remember? And I think it was Jurassic Park 2 when the T-Rex hit San Francisco.
Yeah,
and
terrible scene.
And how awesome that was as a kid, though, to watch that as a kid.
Yeah, and then you watch it and you're like, oh, this is really bad. These are adults making this movie.
No, I watch it again and
this
I try to get back to
the Steven Spielberg making this fucking movie. Steven Spielberg.
I think you've got too much bad slime buildup in you, George.
Probably.
Because,
yeah, mean it's not a bad movie.
If it were 1989 and you saw the Statue of Liberty walking down the street,
the first half
you'd
of
be like, ah!
The first half of Lost World is pretty good. Second half is pretty terrible. There's gymnastics escaping from a fucking T-Rex. That whole thing is ridiculous.
And it made me realize that as much as I want to think that I'm a badass and I would survive to the end of these movies, I can't do a backflip, and so I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I am? I'm that legless guy butt scooting across the desert in Mad Max. Like, if I were ever in any, like, action film, like, these terrible movies help me realize that that's who I am, actually. Is I'm not the center. I'm not the hero.
Yeah,
I'm not the queen. I'm a butt scooter.
We're the type of people who do podcasts about movies. All right, so Devin, this is a miss for you, right? I'm assuming you just kind of just said it.
Yeah, I'd say probably miss for me. I didn't hate it, but like, it's so tough for me week to week, like what I'm expecting, whatever mood I'm in. But like, I wanted this to blow me out of the water, and it didn't. So miss on this particular day. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Yeah, this is 100% a miss for me. Like, I kind of hated this movie. Honestly, I kind of dislike it more than I did before I watched it as a kid.
That's fine. I like dancing toasters. That's all I need. I think I love. Maybe I loved
people,
the Brave Little Toaster too much growing up.
Yeah, that movie's devastating.
Movie.
It's also just barely an hour, I think.
The air conditioner. When the air conditioner, like, short circuits himself and blows up.
Yeah. He's like, everybody's going to die, right? There's like a whole monologue about that. Yeah.
Watch that. Let's watch that next week.
Yeah, I don't think we need that in our lives right now. Mandy, I mean, I kind of know what you're going to say, but what is hit or miss for you?
I'll admit, I did watch it more critically. So I think some of the you've taken some of the nostalgia for me, but it's still it's still. But no, honestly, it's still a hit because I never wanted it to be anything more than what it was. I watched it as a movie, and I thought it was just fun, and I took it as a movie.
Okay. Well, Mandy, thank you for coming on. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
They're playing Nosferatu on Friday at the Cinematheque.
Yeah, if you hear this tomorrow or Friday. Yeah,
oh, is it tomorrow?
You got 2 days. So yeah, if you want to get there.
Oh, okay. Well, just check out the Cinematheque in general. They're doing a lot of silent films on the screen.
John Carpenter movies.
Yeah, and they have live music to them. So if you're a big enough nerd to be listening to this, you should check out it.
Metropolis with a live band, which is really good. I mean, it's Metropolis. It's great. But it's also, like, I would never watch it at home because it's 2.5-hour silent film. But with a live orchestra, it's cool. I mean, it's orchestra is a loose term. There were 3 people. But it was, like, it was very good. So I feel like it's going to be the same thing with Nosferatu. But I've never actually sat down to watch Nosferatu in its entirety, like, at home. Because it's a silent movie. It's fucking hard to watch silent movies at home.
If we're talking about silent movies in general, you should definitely watch He Who Laughs. The entire thing is on YouTube. And it's amazing. And you can totally, like, add some depth to your Batman conversations with it and, like, sound even more smug.
It's the Joker origins type or inspiration.
Yeah, right? It's real. You feel for him. Like, I watched it on a little screen as a YouTube video in my bed, and I cried. But what do I know? I like Ghostbusters, too. That's so right. Don't take my word for it.
All right. Well, Devin, you got anything?
I don't know. Personally, me, I'm just looking forward to this movie called The Florida Project
coming out
on October 27th with Willem Dafoe.
Willem
what?
Dafoe!
Yeah, he is not a foe. He's a friend of your movie-watching eyes.
It's A24, right? I love A24.
Yeah.
They did, they've done a bunch of stuff. They do really great. They're a really good indie production company.
I'm just looking forward to this movie because it's about, like, the outskirts of Disney World or Disneyland. Or no, it is Disney World.
Disney World.
And in Orlando. And I have family that has lived there since I was a little kid, and we visited there. And it's a weird, strange world, like the outskirts of Disney World. Like, it's full of resorts, but also, like, these weird, like, motels and, like, trailer parks and type of weird little gatherings of neighborhoods that it's just really strange, and I'm looking forward to seeing it on screen. So
yeah, I'm excited to see it.
What is it called?
The Florida Project.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Didn't Venture Brothers have an episode kind of about that sort of thing?
Did they? I don't know.
It was with the B word, the BGB world.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah,
and they had the resistance
people
because it was messing up with, like, the price.
I still haven't watched that newest season of Venture Brothers, whatever, from, like, 2 or 3 years ago. Like, season 5, 6?
It's almost not worth it to watch it because it sets up a bunch of cool stuff and then goes nowhere with it.
Yeah.
We have to wait another 10 years.
I have to watch Venture Brothers again. But in terms of what I hit to plug, I have the drive-in on the 14th. Showing the thing. It's got a really cool write-up in cleveland.com. That was really really was cool.
I was referred to as with the help of a friend.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why that happened.
It was either me or the guest.
I read that and I'm like, uh-oh.
Whatever. It's your thing.
Thank you, a friend.
We
should just start introducing you on the podcast as a friend. I'm George. I'm Spooky George Dunn.
As the reverse of the Golden Girls would say, you're welcome for being a friend.
Can we do that? Can we talk about that maybe on another podcast or another episode about how mean the Golden Girls actually end up being to each other?
I mean, that's not really the format of the podcast, but I'm glad to talk about the Golden Girls with you.
Okay, yeah, we need to have that discussion someday. Because it upsets me. They're so mean to Rose. She's not that dumb. It's just every little... I'm sorry. This is the place. We're summing up.
Happy Halloween. I had the show at Blank Slate next Friday on the 13th. Other than that, I don't have anything. Just follow us on Instagram, iTunes, all that crap. SecondShotPod@gmail.com. It's our Twitter as well.
@SecondShotPod.
@SecondShotPod. You know, all that same stuff. I'm going to find our number again so you can call us. I didn't... The last few times I've been like, it's just not that number.
216-3...
09.
I got the first
don't
four numbers.
Don't confuse people.
09?
216.
My money's on 09.
216. 309.
Yeah.
Yeah.
09.
09.
42. Call us. Leave us a message. Tell us what you think. Tell me how attractive I am. Tell me how Devin is a friend of the podcast. He's a good friend of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And we will see you next week. We're going to have my friend Kyle Horde on to talk about Friday the 13th. You get real spooky.
Ooh.
We're going to be watching Friday the 13th Part 4.
On Friday the 13th. No,
it's going to come out on
the week of Friday the 13th.
It comes out the day before Friday the 13th. So,
ooh,
yes.
That's double bad luck. That's good. That's 26.
So I have never seen Friday the 13th Part 4, and I am not a fan of the series itself. So this will be interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, happy Halloween, guys.
Ooh.
Happy Halloween.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.